This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. I'm Tom Reaney for New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. Today's podcast focuses on Louis Armstrong's 1933 appearance in Copenhagen and on the recent Satchmo Fest in New Orleans. I assume the Danes who filmed Louis Armstrong in 1933 knew what a service they were providing humanity. There's no shortage of film on the great trumpeter later in his career, but this is the first footage we have of Pops in his early prime. Armstrong performances of three songs, I Cover the Waterfront, Dinah, and Tiger Rag, were filmed on a soundstage with an audience superimposed to make it look like a concert. They looked delighted, and in Armstrong ease, that's no stage joke. The gospel singer Mahalia Jackson famously said of Armstrong, "If you don't love him, I don't think you really know how to love." The Danes loved Louis.
Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Armstrong, and we're going to sing one of the good old good ones for you. Beautiful number. I cover the waterfront. I cover the waterfront. I like it. Look out, that's us. Look out there. One. I'm watching the sea, cause the one I love soon come back to me. Steady, so steady, I cover the one run in search of my love. And
Dan Morgenstern knows from Armstrong and from Denmark. The Dean of Jazz Critics was born in Munich in 1929 and spent nearly a decade living in Vienna until Hitler's annexation of Austria in 1938. The Anschluss led the Morgenstern family to flee in separate directions, his father to France, Dan and his mother to Copenhagen. It was there where he heard Fats Waller in concert, an experience that fascinated the 10-year-old who reveled in Waller's enormous energy and good humor. In 1943, when the Danish underground learned that the Nazis were about to round up all Jews for deportation, the Morgensterns were spirited to safety in Sweden. They moved to the U.S. in 1947. In his Grammy-winning liner note essay on Armstrong, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, Morgenstern writes, "Armstrong's reception in Copenhagen in 1933 was the most enthusiastic he had yet received. A crowd estimated by the unhyperbolic Danes at some 10,000 awaited his arrival inside and outside of the train station. There was a band, a sea of flowers, and a motorcade. Not until after World War II would there be anything comparable in the way of public demonstration of affection for Armstrong, and he was very moved. At first, he thought all those people were waiting for someone else." In his autobiography, Swing That Music, Armstrong recalled, "All I remember is a whole ocean of people all breaking through the police lines and bearing down on us until I got afraid we were going to get stomped underfoot. They pushed a big trumpet all made out of flowers into my hands and put me into an automobile and started a parade. You'd have thought I had been some kind of national hero to them."
The next number we're going to swing for you is one of the good old favorites. That's Dinah, Dinah. Look out, they want. Are you ready? Look out. Anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know, show to me, Dinah. The dick got blazing, who love the city's gazing to the eyes of Dinah Lee. Baby, every night, one eye, shake with fine fall. Cause my dynamite, change your mind, Bobby, did you know?
In Terry Teachout's biography of Armstrong, he says the Copenhagen footage testifies to the accuracy of the contemporary newspaper stories that describe his onstage behavior. As the film rolls, we are brought face to face with the stage show Armstrong, the white handkerchief, the crouching and springing, the dancing in place, and the sudden stillness and concentration each time he puts his horn to his mouth. This latter feature cannot be overemphasized, for throughout his career, Armstrong's stage show often led to his music being devalued by critics, among them Gunther Schuller and John S. Wilson. A headline in Melody Maker about his performance at London's Holborn Empire later in 1933 summed it up. Amazing reception for Armstrong, frenzied applause for meaningless performance. Max Jones's biography, The Louis Armstrong Story, adds, his act was castigated as 50% showmanship, 50% instrumental cleverness, but about 0% music. It's true, of course, that Armstrong could be given to an excess of theatrics. The drummer Harry Dial, who worked with him in the early 30s, said that when he joined Pops, he thought the band was slipping because Louis had gone in all for the showmanship stuff, you know, the high notes, gestures, and I thought he couldn't play anymore. I soon lost that opinion when I began working with him. We used to get out in those little towns where people didn't know him too well, and he'd sit down and really play horn. He'd play High Society and Tiger Rag, which used to work the stew out of any drummer.
Here's the number that all the musicians in the world love to play. One of the good old swing numbers. The Tiger Rag, the Tiger Rag. Look out there. One, two. We're going to take a little trip through the jungles this time, and we want y'all to travel with us. That tiger's running so fast, we're going to take a few choruses to catch him. So I want y'all to count with me. Yes, sir. Venus and Selma Trumpet's going to get away for you this time. Get out there, boys. I'm ready. Yeah.
The English perspective may have caused Armstrong to reconsider his showmanship. Max Jones writes, at home, for some years past, he had been sending his listeners with 100 or more high C's on Tiger Rag. At the Holborn Empire, the journalists complained of a shine which afforded him the opportunity of whipping out unaccompanied and ad lib a series of 70 high C's culminating in a top F. It was alleged in the following week's Melody Maker that he had noted the well-meant criticism and mended his ways. Jones adds, in all probability, he did his best to cut down on the fireworks. In 1959, another English critic, Albert McCarthy, looking back at Armstrong's 18-month-long European sojourn of the mid-30s, wrote, at that time, nobody knew it, but this was to be the end of the pure virtuoso phase, and in the next year, Armstrong's style was to undergo a change in the direction of greater simplicity. Legend has it that Armstrong was born on July 4, 1900, but a baptismal certificate from Sacred Heart of Jesus Church in New Orleans stating August 4, 1901 was discovered in the mid-80s, and it's become widely accepted as the true date of his birth. The annual Satchmo Fest adheres to document over legend, and this year's took place between July 29th and August 2nd. Among the speakers was Dan Morgenstern, who gave a stirring address in which he took issue with how George Wein described Armstrong's appearance at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1957. As Dan recounts what was going on in Armstrong's career around 1957, he touches on some of the same charges that were first made about the trumpeter 25 years earlier. It makes for one of the most compelling hours of jazz scholarship I've ever heard, and you can hear it too by visiting nepr.net. Be sure to hang in till the end to see Dan being surprised by Armstrong biographer Ricky Riccardi with the rare recording of Beautiful Dreamer that Morgenstern had alluded to in his speech. For more about Louis Armstrong, including the footage of Armstrong in Copenhagen and Dan Morgenstern's address at Satchmo Fest, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney.